Welcome to the Ethical Consumer Podcast. I'm your host, Julia Abbott. Join me for weekly chats with food and beverage brands, because caring about the process behind your food should be just as important as enjoying it. All right, everyone. Welcome back to the Ethical Consumer Podcast. I'm your host, Julia. And today I have with me Olivia Angus, and she has two roles, and we'll be discussing both of them at least a little bit, if not at length. And this is such a cool thing because Olivia has lived the past few years mostly plastic-free, mostly waste-free, and she offers a whole lot of grace around this. You can check out her blog at oliviafortheocean.com. And in addition to blogging, Olivia, you also work for Surfrider. So we'll get to talk about Surfrider a little bit too. Welcome. Thanks for being on today.
Thank you. So I actually work for Surfrider as a volunteer. And then as my day job, I work as a medical device engineer. So just clarify for Surfrider legal reasons, like I don't actually work for them.
There we go. Pardon me. She volunteers for Surfrider. You did not hear that from me. We're all clear on that. So medical device engineer, is that what you just said?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wonderful. So you are just an absolute jack of all trades. So you're volunteering, you are blogging, you are also a mother, you have a family, and then you're working as a engineer as well. Goodness gracious. Well, thank you for taking time out of your schedule to come on. That's a whole lot of stuff.
No problem.
Very exciting. How do you blend all of it? Or what did you, let's see, what better way to start? What came first? Your job as the medical engineer or blogging or a sustainable lifestyle?
So I, like most Asians, was pushed to be a doctor. And I didn't get into medical school twice, but being a medical device, like working on medical devices, was a good backup plan. And it turned out to be a really good backup plan. So as I graduated from grad school, I was searching for jobs. And around that time, I was like, okay, I'm trying to get my career on path. Like, I should get my personal life on path. And I actually started volunteering with Surfrider to find a husband. Like, I wanted to find somebody who surfed and cared about the environment. And growing up in San Diego, Surfrider was such like a big organization. Like you couldn't drive on the freeway without seeing a Surfrider sticker. That's how like big they are in San Diego. So I'm like, this would be a perfect place to find a husband. Long story short, didn't find my husband that way. And then, but I found an organization that I loved and I've been volunteering with them ever since. And then soon after that came the job. So it all happened around the same time.
Sure. Okay. So life started moving pretty quickly. When was that? Around what year, if you remember?
I am a little older. So that was around 2008, 2009.
Okay.
Yeah, so a while ago.
Cool. And you are the San Francisco Plastics Lead Volunteer. Is that correct for Surfrider?
Yes. I actually just gave up that position. breaking news, just with everything opening back up, I live about 40 minutes outside of San Francisco. So it's just really tough to run in there for meetings. Like you mentioned, I have a job and kids. It's really tough to, you know, run in and out of the city. So I think it would be better served for somebody who actually lives in the city. I'm still going to help with like the policy side, but sort of the day-to-day of that role, I handed it back to whoever wants to lead it next.
Sure. What did that look like when you were doing that? And then the future person who's going to handle that, what do you do as the plastics lead?
So part of it I'll still help with, but we were really instrumental in working on plastics policy in San Francisco. We have a great relationship with a number of the board of supervisors. So just helping them craft legislation that will kind of curb the use of single-use plastics in San Francisco. BC, before COVID, we were working on an ordinance that would charge 25 cents for a to-go cup and 25 cents for to-go containers, just like a bag fee. Like when you put a charge on something, it kind of deters the use of it. And it included little other stipulations, like if you sat down at a restaurant, they had to have reusables for you to use. Like they couldn't, you couldn't sit down at a restaurant and they would give you a paper plate and like plastic fork and things like that. Some of the other things were, if you sat down at a restaurant, they had to have like full servings, bottles of condiments. Like they couldn't give you like a ketchup packet. They had to give you like a ketchup bottle and things like that. So just like really common sense ways to reduce the usage of plastic in San Francisco.
Sure. Common sense, but at the same time, we've gotten so far away from that, it seems like. I mean, I remember going through like drive-thrus as a kid, and you get the ketchup packet and you get the mustard packet and you get the pickle packet or whatever you have, and you get your plastic silverware with the napkin inside it and it's wrapped in plastic. And, you know, half the time we were just going back home, my mom would, you know, take my brother and I through as a motorcycle goes by every once in a while. And inevitably we ended up with a drawer full of condiment packets and silverware because we already had them at home. So why use plastic silverware if we were sitting at the dining room table? And why use the ketchup packet when we had a full bottle of ketchup in the fridge?
I'm sure everybody has one of those drawers, and it's probably only worse with COVID, with takeout, like, you know, skyrocketing. And it sure. I know some people call it like the drawer of shame. It only gets cleaned out when people move.
Yep. Yep. When you move or you're going on a picnic and you don't want to bring your full item. Though I will say COVID times last summer, my fiance and I took a lot of picnics to like local state parks or smaller parks. And we would make sandwiches and he would bring them in his cooler. And he brought, I'm a mustard fiend. That's fun fact for all of you. I love mustard. He would bring the full bottle of mustard. And depending on what kind of sandwich we were having, he brought the Dijon and the honey and the yellow. So like that three full size containers.
What kind of mustard?
I am an equal opportunity mustard lover. Mustard and pickles. I am down Ooh. For pretty much anything. Horseradish. And of course, as we're talking about living a mostly plastic-free, waste-free lifestyle, all of these come in plastic bottles. But there was at one point in time, we had like four different jars of pickles in the fridge and like five or six different kinds of mustard. It was
To send you my favorite pickles. They're these bread and butter pickles that I like. They're a little expensive, but when I ate them, I was like, oh my God, I don't know how to stop.
And so that is a question that I was planning on asking you. Is that the answer to what is your favorite food or at least your favorite condiment?
Oh no.
The hardest one, hardest question.
My favorite food might be mac and cheese. That's a tough one. I'm a foodie. I love food. So it's like, it's probably a combination of like carbs and cheese. So mac and cheese is a good one, but I also like dumplings. Like there's this place in DC that has the most amazing dumplings. It's like my favorite place to eat in DC. We go there every time we're in DC. So like probably like a pasta now that I'm thinking about it. Because dumplings on the outside are basically... It's like a meatball wrapped with pasta.
There you go. Something pasta oriented that's nice and cozy and comforty. Yes. Dumplings mm-hmm. or mac and cheese. I'm down for both of those. So what are the bread and butter pickles? Do you remember the brand?
I'll have to run downstairs.
Hey, that's okay. We'll find it afterwards and I'll include it in the show notes if I have any other pickle lovers out there, because I am intrigued. Pickles and mustard. That's what we do. So on that, let's get kind of segueing into the plastic-free or mostly waste-free. What do you consider yourself? As I'm vacillating between these two terms, do you have a label? And you don't have to have a label because labels are very strict.
I put on sort of the tagline of my blog, Plastic-Free Living for Ocean Protection. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. Like my blog is called Living for the Ocean. I care about the ocean. And I try to live as plastic free as possible. And, you know, that definitely blends into zero waste and all those other things. But I think in general, as an engineer, I just want things to be as efficient as possible. And as a mom and trying to balance everything, like the simpler things are, the easier things are, the less I have to deal with. So it's a little bit of like you know, try to protect the ocean, but it's also like self-preservation and just trying to make things easier, because things are a little hectic, and with everything going on, like, you just sometimes you just want like the easy button from Staples.
Please. Yes. I think so too. So what did you start embracing this plastic-free, waste-free lifestyle for simplicity, or when you became a mom? When were you first inspired to do this in your own life, not just blogging?
Yeah. So what really kicked it off, surprisingly enough, was a plastic-free July challenge. It was probably in, I have such a terrible memory, but I think it was around 2017 was the first year I participated. And actually one of the very first campaigns I worked with in Surf Rider in 2008 was Rise Above Plastics in San Diego. So for however many years, I'd been carrying around like my reusable shopping bags and my reusable water bottle. I thought like this challenge, which basically for the month of July, you try to not use any single use plastics. I thought this challenge would be super easy. And it wasn't until like the first or second or the first week was over that we went to Taco Bell, which is one of my guilty pleasures. And I sat down and I like unwrapped my first taco and I picked up the hot sauce and I was like, crap, like this is plastic. And it just sort of like hit me then, like, you know, how many single-use plastics had I just been blindly using for how many years, when I'd been like toting around my reusable shopping bag and my like coffee cup and my water bottle. Like, you think about the ones that people talk about, like there's bag bans and they, you know, people promote reusable shopping bags, but you don't really think about like condiment packets. And sure. So that challenge just really opened up my eyes, and I ended up, you know, eating the saddest taco of my life. I put the hot sauce back. And
you didn't even do the hot sauce. You're like,
no, I was committed. Like, I am committed to things. When I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. And so it wasn't until like the last day we sat down at a restaurant. And by then I'd had like a really good routine. Like I'd be like on the lookout for our waiter. And I'd be like, you know, we'd like some water, no straw, you know, but before I made eye contact with anybody, somebody just swooped in and put like a glass of water with a straw in. I was just like, oh no. So that like one straw was like the straw that broke the camel's back.
Sure.
And so that sort of, you know, started my journey on just trying to figure out how to eliminate all the single-use plastics that we have in our life. So it's very eye-opening. And then it became somewhat of an obsession. But it's just like, you know, we're bombarded with like all these messages to kind of consume these things. And it's become so normalized. Like, mm-hmm. I remember when I was a kid, I would pack my little sandwich for lunch every morning. And I put it in a little sandwich baggie. It was a little plastic thing that we just threw it. And we're so conditioned to just use things and throw things away. So it was also just like, you know, trying to like deprogram myself in a sense, and really just question like, do I need this? Like, do I need this? And so for the last like few years, it's just been a constant, like anytime I used anything up, I'm like, do I need this? Can I replace this with something else? Like, can I combine this with something else? And it's been sort of a fun like game almost.
Sure. Well, when you turn it into a, like you said, you started with the was it just single use plastic? Cause let's define that for a second, because sometimes I think of single use plastic as just a water bottle or just a straw. You use it once and then you throw it away. But then you also have condiment packets, things like that. That is technically a single use item. It's not like you're going to put a little chip clip on the teaspoon of ketchup that you didn't use. I mean, like maybe you would, that'd be less wasteful at least, I suppose, but I don't know. Usually my entire condiment packet would end up empty because that's how I roll. But we're talking about anything that is going to be thrown away. So I guess condiment packets would fit into that category too. When you started as a challenge for the month of July, I mean, it's just July, have it's July 30 or 31 month. I don't remember, but you have an end date. Or you had an end date and then you decided to keep going. So when it seems like a short amount of time, was that, I suppose it made it fun. It made it a game. And you also knew that you had an end date. Like, oh, if I want to say to hell with this, which you didn't and should not clearly, you had that out, you had that end, but then embracing it as a lifestyle, I'm glad that you still said it like that. You still consider it to be kind of like a game. It's a challenge. It's like, what can I find a substitute for? Because sometimes, yeah, that can be a little fun. I like finding substitutes for things. This year I've switched out a couple of like a toothpaste tube and a plastic toothbrush. I switched to a bamboo toothbrush and I'm going to try a couple different ones and do a mini-sode on that reviewing the toothpaste. So I will ask your opinion. I have a paste, a charcoal paste that comes in a metal tin right now. Mm-hmm. But I think if everyone looked at it like a game or a challenge or something like that, instead of like, I have to do this because I want to be a good person for the environment, maybe it'd be more fun. It doesn't seem like you're limiting yourself. You get to find new things and new adventures.
You totally like hit it on the button. Like, I think we're just so harsh on ourselves and each other, and we're constantly judging, and it's a terrible way to live. And, you know, there's so much bad news out there about the environment and then social justice and all the other things. Like, we need like positive ways to make change. And if we look at it, like, I grew up Catholic, so I understand a little bit about guilt. if we're constantly like guilting ourselves over things, like, that's just, a terrible way to make change, and it's not going to stick, because you know you don't stick with things because you feel bad about it. You stick with things because you feel good about it. So sure. Making it into a challenge or, you know, a game is way more fun, or like a puzzle. Like, I'm an engineer, I like puzzles. Like, it makes it more interesting than, oh, like, this thing is killing turtles. Like, that's just so sad.
It's funny you say that, because a few weeks ago I went on a walk with my friend Carmen, and both of us care very much about trying to live as waste-free as we can while still having that grace around it. And we went to one of our favorite local coffee shops, Cup of Joe, and I got an iced beverage in a plastic cup with a straw. And she takes out her reusable cup, the same one you're drinking out of. Actually, both of us have matching, mine's over there, clean canteens with the straw attachment in it. And I said, oh my gosh, are you guys taking reusable containers again? And they said, yes. And I'm like, that's mine. And I felt so guilty. Carmen has her beautiful, hers is green with a bunch of stickers on it, green clean canteen with her straw. And I have my plastic cup with my plastic straw. And you know what? I drank it and I enjoyed it. And then I tossed it in the recycle bin at the end of our walk, and it was fine. But I was a little distraught that I didn't know that they were taking reusable containers again, because for a while they weren't because of the pandemic.
That's great that they're still doing that, or they're doing that now, because I know a lot of places that still don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, who knows, it's, you know, we're pretty familiar with the folks there too. And It that's made me kind of sad to see so many single use masks on the ground and other things. I feel like our garbage has just gotten worse. As I was driving by on the highway the other day, off to, I forget what I was getting. And, a garbage can must've blown over, and like half of it was masks, all four masks, people. But there were so many white and blue paper masks with strings on them. I'm getting sidetracked, but someday we'll get back to not having to have all of those in mind when we're going out to eat and getting our takeout and not always using our reusable beverage containers.
Yeah, the mask just brings up like a great point. Like, there's the sort of the downer part is that people make money off of disposable. And so they're going to push disposables. And so we have to find ways to like really think about and kind of go against all of that marketing that tells us we need to use these like things that we use for a few minutes, a few seconds, even throw away, and just try to, where we can, use reusable things like a reusable mask.
Sure, definitely. And yeah, sometimes things, of course, there's always going to be a little bit of a financial exchange when you're going for something reusable as opposed to something that is single use. You know, maybe you're getting these, the condiment packets. We're going to keep going back to the condiment packets. I just feel it. You're going to get the condiment packets for free as opposed to, you know, even just buying your own condiment. Most people have condiments at home, but yeah, sure, that the specific bottle that I'm talking about was like, I don't know, $26-$27. That's kind of, it's a little more expensive, but it's all metal. I trust the company. I love Clean Canteen. And that seems like a lot of money for a reusable water bottle for some people. But I also know that I have had that for years. I have my original Clean Canteen from like 9 or 10 years ago because I haven't lost it because I spent money on it and I'm going to take care of it and know where it is. But I think sometimes that price tag is a little scary in the beginning.
I think it's a different way of looking at the cost. Like, a bottled water is, I forget the actual percentage, but like tap water costs nearly nothing. And so, you know, when you weigh out the cost of bottled water versus tap water, and then on top of that, there's like health effects that we don't really ever think about. Like if you get hot coffee in a plastic lined cup, which paper cups are usually lined with plastic, you know, that plastic and the chemicals associated with the plastic like leach into your coffee. And we have no idea like the cumulative health effects of having a cup of coffee like that every single day, which like just a hint of chemicals. Whereas if you got it in your reusable cup, like it's metal and like nothing is leaching into your coffee. And so there, we a lot of times only see like the investment costs, but we don't see all of the other costs that come with single use.
And it's just out of sight, out of mind. If someone's not putting those health warnings on it or just putting that in front of you to like, hey, have you thought about this? It's just pretty common for us to grab it and go and not think twice about it. It's challenging. What has been the hardest swap that you've had to make? And maybe it was some cognitive dissonance going with, but I really like this, but I know this isn't so good. Or did you feel like, hopefully not, any serious backlash from your family or friends when you're like, no, I'm not going to do that? What was the most challenging thing that you've swapped out?
I don't see things as challenges if they've already been accomplished. And so my stickler, I guess, is chips. Like I love chips, but I can't get them without plastic. So I either have to, you know, buy them in plastic every once in a while and treat myself. The like out that I had before COVID was the office that I worked at. They cater food all the time just because everybody has such a good tight schedule that lunch meetings happen all the time. And the catering company that we would use, they made homemade chips. So I would just like scoop up a bunch when everybody was done. And that would be my, like my allotment for until they catered again. But since COVID, I just like, I can't find chips in like a non-plastic container. I know like in Canada and places that have bulk barn, they sell chips in bulk, but I don't have a bulk barn near me.
No, that's the hard part. Here in Iowa, there's not a whole lot of grocery stores with good bulk sections. And I say good, that sounds snobby, but things like that, things like chips. I mean, you can get dried fruit and nuts and things like that. I feel like those were the first things to come out in bulk, other than now I'm remembering like the Brock's candy display when I was a little kid. That was like the first bulk section that we got at our Hy-Vee or Midwest chain grocery store is called Hy-Vee. But I remember specifically walking into a Whole Foods for the first time and seeing the big, beautiful wall of bulk items. And I'm like, we don't have this. I want this. Why can't I have this in Cedar Falls, Iowa? But Olivia, do you know where Cedar Falls, Iowa is? Because I know where San Francisco is. We're not going to have this. We're not going to have as many bulk sections as you would find in a bigger city. And that's a challenge sometimes.
Yeah. So what you can do, and I understand that the cost is a little more with like the shipping and the deposit, but you get your deposit back. I use an online zero waste bulk shop called The Wally Shop. I don't get any sort of commission. I just love them and I use them, especially because of COVID. And they have like an array of typical bulk items like sugar, flour, nuts, dried fruit, that kind of stuff. Mm. They also have like, they had mushroom jerky 1 week that they're sold out of and I can't get again, but it was delicious. They have like bliss balls. They have oils, which I love. So I get all of my oils and vinegars from them. What they do is they ship you whatever bulk things you order in a reusable plastic container. They use plastic because it's cheaper to ship and it's lighter weight. And they do it in a reusable tote. And they send that tote to you. I dump out all my stuff into my own containers. And then there's a shipping label. I just flip it around so that I can send it back. I drop it off at a UPS store and there's no waste.
Nice. The Wally Shop.
Yeah.
I have to check this out. Do you know if it ships everywhere or is it just a California or West Coast thing?
From what I understand, it ships everywhere. They actually started off in New York City and it was just New York, but because of the pandemic, they expanded. Now they have a distribution center in Texas. So I actually wrote a blog post about this and it talks about my entire experience. It shows the website,
the
containers and everything. I'll send that to you.
Yes, please. I'll check that out. And that is a wonderful thing to mention as well. Your blog, the way you document everything, obviously we've talked about some of the chips, the challenging switch that you've made. I mentioned toothbrush and toothpaste, and I know you have switched out your bathroom routine, your kitchen routine, and you've documented all of this on your blog, your bathroom swaps, your easy kitchen swaps. And it's so nice to see you a real person go through this because sometimes you see, even I feel like this some way. And I think everyone who's listened or watched this or knows me in person knows I'm a very real person and make mistakes and can't always do everything perfectly. But to have that laid out and to see, I'm thinking is specifically of the toothbrush one. I was reading yours, the toothbrush that you recommend is even more sustainable than the toothbrush that I got. Because of the bristles, like you buy something and then you see that, oh, wait, this isn't okay. This is better, but this isn't exactly what I want. And you show that you go through your process of some of these things. And it's nice to see that, you know, not everyone gets it right the first time. Cause I certainly don't.
I am definitely an engineer in that aspect. Like I'm like, okay, if I were somebody going through this, like, how can I show them like exactly what it is? And it's not like a literary like masterpiece. It's literally like, this is what it is because that's what I want. I'm like, I want somebody to lay it out. Like, I don't need to read Tolstoy about toothbrushes. Like, just give me like the facts and the nuggets and where I can find it and why, maybe.
Yep. That's exactly what I have wanted and tried to find. And honestly, your blog has been such a wonderful resource. Obviously, I had made some of these switches before we started talking. But yeah, I think it was like 3 days after I opened my humble toothbrush. And I'm like, oh, damn it. It has plastic bristles. I didn't think of this.
It's great you made that switch. I try not to make everything such a bummer because like talking about this stuff is such a bummer sometimes. So I try to like write it gently as I can because people, exactly what you just said, they're like, I'm making a difference with my bamboo toothbrush. And then they find out that the bristles are made of plastic and it's just like, there's no winning. Like so just like overwhelmed with plastic that sometimes it's hard not to be a bummer.
But you say it in a very gentle way. I was not offended by your words or your blog post. It was just another one of those things I didn't think. Well, I didn't know there was a substitute, but I actually unboxed the toothbrush on camera for a mini-sode that I was doing. Like these are some of the swaps that I've made recently. I purchased it from as local to me as I could, or the toothbrush my mother picked up for me for Christmas. I got a bamboo toothbrush in my Christmas stocking instead of a plastic toothbrush. Go mom.
Yeah, go mom.
But I got the toothpaste from The Collective in Des Moines, Iowa. So I had that shipped, but local to me shipped, just 2 hours away or so. And I was reading on the box how to dispose of the toothbrush. And it did say, use pliers and pull out the bristles. And it was only when I saw yours that I knew there was an alternative. Sometimes you don't know there's an alternative. You see, you know, third world countries brushing their teeth with a stick or something like that, a roughed up stick. And it's like, okay, I don't really want to do that. I'd like to buy my toothbrush, not make it from a stick I find in the yard. But what is my other option? Tell me a little bit about the toothbrush that you have recommended on your blog, because that I think is a really interesting situation.
Yeah, sure. So I actually had, you know, a bamboo toothbrush with the plastic bristles. And the first time I tried to pull it out, it was so hard that I was like, I am not doing this every time. Like, no way. Like, it just boils down to being like a lazy engineer. Like, I want things to be as efficient as possible because I'm lazy. So I was just Googling, like, what other, like, I want a 100% plastic-free toothbrush. Like, somebody has to make this. And so I found one that makes their bristles out of boar hair. And I understand for vegans, like, it's not going to be an option. But if you're not vegan, like, it's a great option. And I'm still trying to look for, I know with some, like, dish scrub brushes, they have mm-hmm. bristles that are made from coconut core. So I'm thinking, like, somebody has to make a vegan, like, completely plastic-free toothbrush.
And sure.
So I'm assuming maybe they'll have one with, like, coconut core or something like that.
We'll report back if we find one or something, yeah. Something comes up, or if anybody is looking for some innovation and you want to start a business, if you could make a vegan plastic-free toothbrush, that would be great. And then I will have you on the podcast, please. And thank you. We have a problem now. Someone find the solution.
Yeah.
And
just
that,
put it out there in the world.
Just put it out there. We're going to manifest a vegan plastic-free toothbrush. I like it. That is something that keeps kind of coming up, or we keep circling back to, is that someone finds a problem and then they decide to be the solution or make the solution. When did you decide to go from living your waste-free, plastic-free lifestyle and then start documenting it, start blogging it? What was the inspiration? And maybe what was the first post that you made? What was the first thing that you did with it?
So as I was, like, switching everything out, as we do, I talked about it on Facebook, just, like, sharing things. And so I became, like, within my friends, sort of an expert on plastic stuff. So I used to get questions all the time, like, what are shampoo bars? Like, how does this work? I don't understand. And just, like, very, like, I'm just starting out type questions. And I would, like, text or, like, type in chat, like, these really long explanations. And again, being a lazy engineer, I was like, I need to start a blog and put this in one place so I could just be like, here's the link. So I don't have to explain every time, like, what is a shampoo bar? How do you use it? Where do you buy them? And so that was sort of the, you know, birth of my blog. I was just tired of explaining this to my friends all the time. So I put it in one place and hopefully it would help more people.
Sure. Did you start with the kind of the categories of, like, bathroom and kitchen and things like that? Or was it more, I said, those ones, it's hard to say which is going to be an easier swap, something you can buy and replace, like reusable towels instead of paper towels, which towels are, they've always been a thing, but now they have specific towels, like fleece towels, that actually go around a tube for your kitchen counter. Like an actual replacement for paper towels are towel style paper towels, if you were, which sounds just absolutely ridiculous when you think about it. But is it a purchasable thing that's easier, or is it like a cosmetic thing that's easier? I don't know. Where did you start? Was it shampoo bars or was it categories?
I think I kind of started in different rooms, and mm-hmm. that's how I started just talking about it. And then, like, grocery shopping, like, a lot of our plastic comes from food packaging. So I was like, okay, I'm going to teach people how to, like, shop for food without plastic. And then, you know, then came like the bathroom stuff, which was like, you know, showering and dental care. And it sort of just is very organic. Like, okay, what can I talk about next? And like, what have I not covered? And what do I think people like don't know about and need a solution for?
Sure. What would you say your most asked question was? What do you do instead of?
I think that at the time, the most asked question was about shampoo bars, just because it was such like a foreign thing. Like, it's a bar, and like, how do I, like, it was just such a foreign thing that people had seen that I got the most questions about that at the time.
I remember getting one. I think the first shampoo bar I ever got was from Lush, and it was the one that smelled like a campfire.
Oh,
I don't know. I looked the other day. And I don't know if, I think they reformulated it and it doesn't smell as campfire-y, but I loved it. I love Dirty Hippie over here. I loved smelling like that. And my roommate at the time was like, what do you smell like? Have you been outside? I'm like, no, it's my shampoo bar. He's like, that's weird. Because sometimes the more waste-free products or more sustainable products, I feel like sometimes they kind of lean toward the crunchier crowd, like the patchouli and the natural oil scents. And I love those. That is my jam. But now it's kind of nice to see that there's, I suppose, the more floral or like the quote unquote normal shampoo smelling ones out there too. It's really expanded.
Yeah, I'm sort of the opposite sometimes of crunchy granola. Like, uh-huh. I describe myself as like a surfer who wears Chanel. Like, that's correct. Where I'm at. Like, I 100% love the ocean, but I get a little fashionista. Like, I wear like pumps to work, and that's how I like I like my pumps. And so I think that's somewhat of what makes me more relatable. Like, I'm not super crunchy hippie. Yeah. And, you know, and people who are, that's fine. But like, I try to find more like mainstream products. And I think that's the easiest way to get people to change. Because what people really want is their same exact product without all the waste. Yes. And so far we can't get that because, you know, these big companies are like, why am I going to spend all that money? And it's going to eat into my profits and all this other stuff. So like, the closer I can get people to that, the better. Like, switching people from a tube of toothpaste to like toothpaste tabs, yes, is like a hard sell, because it has a funny feel. And if you're not like, if you're not all gung ho about plastic, you're like, why would I subject myself to this every morning?
They look like Altoids. Kind of like it. I have not tried the tablets, mostly because I do try to get things local if I can, or local-er, like staying within Iowa, which can be hard because, yeah, like we mentioned before, Midwest is great. I love living in the Midwest, but you're not going to find as many of those things around here, especially not living in a bigger city. Des Moines, the capital, is 2 hours away. Close enough that like I have not been to Des Moines in over a year, which makes me very sad because that's where my fiance's family is. But usually when I go, I try to stock up on a few things. But what is your favorite toothpaste? Here I am asking you all of the questions specifically that you made the blog to answer for. It's fine. But do you like the tablets or do you like the paste? Because that is my next endeavor, just trying something different for toothpaste than the paste that I have right now.
I'm going to go back just a little bit. You touched on a really great thing about, you know, trying to be local and like get local products. I think it's so difficult to basically win it all. Like, because the, I guess, economy or structure that we live in right now, it doesn't have all these zero waste options. You have to choose between like waste, local, do like, is shipping contributing to emissions? Like, they're just, it's so hard. Like, I just want a sustainable toothbrush. Like, how hard can it be? But like, yes, like with the toothbrush example, like, they're made with plastic bristles, and like, it's so hard to win it all. And I feel like sometimes that stops people from trying at all. And that's why I try to like make my blog a little more positive and be like, look, you're not going to win it all. That's just like how like society is built right now. When we get to this magical place where everything is zero waste, like we'll all celebrate and then you can have it all. But like, you know, like you said earlier, like give yourself a little grace, cut yourself a little slack, because it's hard to win it all. And there's no like 100% green solution right now, but hopefully in the future there will be.
Yes.
Back to your toothpaste. So my first thing that I tried was making my own toothpaste, and I talked to a certified dentist and he was like, oh yeah, that'll work, that's fine. And it was literally just coconut oil and baking soda, and I put peppermint oil in it just to get that minty taste. But like, I know people who just brush with baking soda and that works fine too. But again, it's like baking soda is super salty and the texture is probably weird. And even for me, I did this for, I don't know, 2 years or something like that. It was just like, it was just like a texture I couldn't like get used to. And so recently I switched to David's toothpaste. You can get it at Whole Foods. It's in a metal tube. It comes with a key so you can like wind it up and get all of the great toothpaste out. And it does have a plastic lid. And it's just one of the things like I'm just going to live with, because I did not like the taste of my coconut oil. It wasn't the taste, it was the texture. Again, it's like I've been brushing my teeth for, you know, 37 years. How old am I? I don't know, for a long time. And so, you know, you get so used to like a feeling and a texture that it was just like, I can't like erase those 30 years of like this feeling. And so I went back to like a more normal feeling toothpaste. And I've tried like mouthwash tablets where you get them in a glass jar and you just drop a tablet in some water and it like fizzles out. But because I've been so like conditioned by the stinging of Listerine, it just didn't feel the same. I was like, I don't feel like my mouth is any cleaner. Like I need like the pain and the burn.
Yes. Oh God. As a child of the 80s and 90s, when we were using, I saw some meme page on Instagram or Facebook had like, what is your visceral reaction to, and it had like Stridex pads, something like that. Like the burny anti-acne pads that it's like, if it doesn't burn, it's not working. Doing its job. Like it has to burn to work. I switched to a different, it is not plastic free. I'm still using it. The Hello brand, I think, which is now owned by a huge corporation. So, you know, we'll see if I keep buying them or not. That was the toothpaste that I used before I switched to. It was the Hello that you could get at Target. And it was charcoal mint. And charcoal toothpaste does not faze me at all. That it's to see my teeth is like black, as long as it still has that kind of pasty gel-like consistency, I'm good. But the mouthwash didn't burn. And that the fact that you say that, it's like, is this working? Am I sure? Are we positive that this is working? And I know that there's way better stuff in that than in like Listerine or whatever we used back in the day, but like, I still kind of want it to burn. It's still kind of weird. But I'm happy to hear you say that you're using the David's toothpaste, because that is going to be found in way more stores, like box stores. Like you can just drive there and get it, or ride your bike or take public transportation, of course. But yeah, sometimes again, I try to lean toward like the just baking soda, or I went with the paste because it comes in a tin. The container is different, but it's still a paste. I don't know. I'm going to give the tablets a shot, but I very much considered getting the David's toothpaste as a backup just in case I can't deal with the tablets and not being like pasty consistency. Chelsea. That's one thing. So with the shampoo bars, we talked about this in our intro call. Blending being waste-free and also being a mom and having kids and a family to take care of, I thought it was really interesting. You had mentioned just a little bit ago, it's so hard to check all of those boxes. You'd mentioned being in a mom group on Facebook and talking about a shampoo bar and things like that. Do you remember us talking about this? It was a waste-free group, but then, you know, people were freaking out about like the sodium lauryl sulfate and things like that, like the foamy, because the foamy is what makes it feel like shampoo. Have you found other kind of similar reactions? I suppose we kind of mentioned that earlier with like the texture and consistency needing to be same, but no contain.
Yeah. Yeah, I find that there are sort of like two groups of people that are interested in zero waste. So like when you bring up something like shampoo bars, you know, you get people who are like, you know, shampoo bars from Lush still have all these chemicals. And it's basically like those people want like 100% the most green, like vegan, like sustainable solution. And like, that's like two products that you can use. And they're, you know, you have to buy them from somewhere. You can't just go pick it up. And so that's like one camp that I find in these groups. The other camp is like, I want my Doritos in something that is sustainably packaged. Like I want the exact same thing with like all the exact formula in something that's not so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so like trying to navigate that and not like piss anybody off is sometimes an interesting challenge.
Yeah. Oh, it's extremely hard. I'm thankful that I have a few vegan friends that listen to the show, and they've listened to like the honey episode, and it actually just came out yesterday. So they will not have, maybe they will have listened to it in the past 24 hours, but maybe not. Meat is a touchy subject. SLS, sodium lauryl sulfate, the foaming agents, touchy subject, plastic, microplastics, microfiber, things like that. It's very dizzying, and it's very difficult to check all of those stinking boxes, but maybe eventually.
And I think sometimes like all those things come with like some judgment, and it's again a terrible way to live. Like I'm not judging you. If you want to use those chemicals, that's cool. Like you have a brain, you have Google. Like you can decide for yourself as an adult, like if that's fine with you. And like, you know, for me, sodium lauryl sulfate, for the amount of time it actually spends on my head, because I only wash my hair like twice a week, like I think that's going to be less problematic than all the plastic that I'm swallowing.
Yes. Probably not going to die from the sodium lauryl sulfate. I agree. It's dizzying to look at all of the things that we should be doing. And then at the same time, we just have to figure out what is the thing that I care about and what is the biggest impact that I can have, hopefully. And also, yeah, what is not going to break my bank? And yep. What is also not going to drive me mad and make it not fun? Totally. Do you consider yourself an essentialist or a minimalist?
Oh, I'm a minimalist for sure.
Minimal?
I want to be one of those people that can fit like all their belongings in a backpack.
Yes.
It might be a Chanel backpack or a Prada backpack. But I want to be able to fit everything in there. Like I look at those people, I'm like, that is amazing. And I think that's partially, I became a minimalist actually because we've moved across the country twice. Mm-hmm. And when you have to do that and you have to like box your stuff and figure out, I'm like, oh no, all this is going away. Like I used to want this like grand library in my dream house. And that dream died real quick when we had to like box up like all my textbooks from college. And like, why am I gonna pay for somebody to move this back there? And then back when we moved back, like it was just, yeah, I became a minimalist real fast when we had to move across the country. And I just realized I hate moving.
It's funny you say that because I instantly looked over there and saw my gigantic bookshelf full of all of
no
my
judgment.
Books. And I'm like, oh no, I hope we don't move. Textbooks are gone. The textbooks are gone. Matt had to keep his textbooks. Actually, he kept some of mine too. We were both music majors to start out with. He is now a music professor. So All of his music textbooks could actually still be relevant. And not only does he have some of his from when he was a student, but he now acquires them to teach his own classes. So there's like four different editions of the same damn textbook downstairs. But yeah, we're just going to hope we don't move because he's also a percussionist. So he has a lot of instruments. But yeah. Yeah. Living out of a bag. My buddy Trevor does that. Shout out Trev. But awesome. That would be challenging. Someday, yes. Maybe we'll get there. And then, of course, we can all fly because we're not going to have any liquids in our TSA because we're not going to have any plastic bottles, right?
Yes.
That did get easier.
There's the zero waste influencer. She's called the mother of zero waste, Bea Johnson. And she, I remember reading that they have so like few personal possessions that when they would go on vacation, they would just like literally like pack their one bag and then go and rent their house out as an Airbnb. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I wouldn't necessarily like want people like staying in my house, but still like just to have so few that I could just take it all with me. And that somebody could like, I wouldn't have anything in the house that I would worry about somebody stealing or something like that.
Sure. Like,
oh, wow. Goals right there.
That would be amazing. It's amazing. Yeah. On traveling. Oh, I miss traveling so much. It's amazing when you do travel and you realize the amount of stuff that you actually need compared to the amount of things that you think you need. And you take like
totally.
5 outfits for 2 weeks and you're like, oh, how am I going to survive? And then you end up wearing the same 3 and you don't even touch because you're like, I want to take this nice top or I want to take this thing. And then you're like, that's not comfortable.
Yeah. Before COVID, I had done every 2 weeks, but then I moved just every week. I wore the same 5 things to work and nobody noticed. And so I was just like, why do I have all these extra clothes? So I like whittled down my wardrobe enough where like, it was just like exactly what I think I have like 50. So that's still a lot, but I have like 50 like articles of clothing because I was like, I literally need like just this. And
sure.
Most of the time people are like, oh, what you're wearing is really cute. And I'm like, great. And I'm like, good. You didn't notice I wore this last Tuesday.
People, they really don't, you know, and that's to have your wardrobe be one thing and kind of what you're wearing, how you're presenting yourself is definitely a little bit different than the waste-free habits, I would suppose. But do you ever walk into a store? That's going to happen to me in Iowa. That's not going to happen to you and just outside of San Francisco. Do you ever have people look at you funny when you have all of your bags going to the bulk bins?
I think so. A little bit of background. I was a competitive ballroom dancer in college, and it's a very catty environment and it's very competitive. And sure. So I have a really strong, like, am I allowed to curse on this podcast?
Yeah.
I have a really strong, like, I don't give a fuck what you think. Like, aura. Like, so I really couldn't tell you if people look at me weird because, like, I literally don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I only have so much time to do it. I'm probably in a rush. And so I'm just going to get it done.
Let me get my bulk goods. I don't want your sneers and judgment. Go away.
And, you know, again, God, BC, before COVID, I used to bring, like, I used to bring some sort of container with me to the butcher so that they would put meat in it. Mm-hmm. I can't do that anymore because of COVID, but it's a weird request. And so like, I remember Bea Johnson saying before that, like when you're trying to do zero waste things, like you need to have some balls, like you need to have some guts to like go against the grain. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, if you are somebody who really is self-conscious and cares what, you know, think that people are like staring you weird, like it doing these types of things like helps build that self-confidence. And again, like if you live your whole life like really worrying about what people think, but again, that's another like crappy way to just, that's a lot of worry and anxiety and
right.
You know, just save yourself the pain. Mm-hmm. and you know, where you can try to figure out how to just not give a shit what people think.
Sure. Be the crunchy weirdo, give zero fucks, and then like just show up unashamedly. Yeah.
Life is too short to not be like,
they'll see you do that and then they'll start to do it and they'll be like, I'm the weirdo now, but I like it.
No, like, life is too short to be like, to not be like 100% the glorious person that you are. And it takes people so long to figure that out, but like once you figure that out, like I mean, the terrible thing is that people are getting shot like for doing very basic things and
right.
You know, to not live your life exactly the most glorious person you are is just, it's a shame.
Mm-hmm. For sure. The past few weeks have been absolutely horrifying to watch the news. I thought it couldn't get worse, but it keeps happening. Life is short and lives are precious and our world is also precious and it's every human being is too. And yeah, man, to not speak out, to not live in accordance with what you believe and think and act as such is just a shame.
Mm. That's why, again, like give yourself some grace too. Like you're not gonna find the most 100% plastic free, zero waste, green, vegan, sustainable thing. And just give yourself some grace because life is too short.
For sure. For sure. Thank you so much for saying that. You are so funny and so knowledgeable and yes, so graceful and so human with everything that you do. Some people take it, I try to take it to the nth degree, and that's just not always the best solution. And then it becomes stressful and then it's not fun. It should be fun. Going back to our game in the beginning. You froze. Oh, there you are. You're back.
Okay.
Ah, something stressed. I saw stress and then you froze.
Your internet connection is unstable. I don't think I've ever seen that before.
Weird. You're okay on my end now.
Okay.
Yeah. Who knows? But yeah, thank you for saying that because that's, yeah. I think we just all need that reminder every once in a while.
Yeah.
Coming from the queen of the waste-free for the ocean.
Oh, I don't know about being queen, but
you said Bea or Bea Johnson.
Bea, B-E-A Johnson.
Bea Johnson. This is someone I will have to look into. That is someone I'm not familiar with.
Her site is called Zero Waste Home, and she has a book. Her book is amazing. It was like the Bible when I started. I was like, oh my God, all this information. Like she teaches you how to make eyeliner from burnt almonds. And I was just like, what is going on here? And she's French, so she's a little fancy. And I think that's what like really got me into it because she seemed normal. Again, it's terrible that we say, but like
you're Chanel. Was,
exactly. She seemed more normal instead of like somebody who's super hippie crunchy granola, which I was like, I don't know if I can get over there, but like Bea made it seem so like normal.
Sure. I will have to check out that book. You said that was Zero Waste Home. This is by Bea Johnson, zero waste influencer. Do you have any other recommendations as far as books or even other podcasts? I'm cool for promoting other podcasts on here too. I'm not going to be that person. Any other resources? And of course your blog, Olivia.
I really enjoyed also 101 Ways to Go Zero Waste by Catherine Kellogg. She's another influencer. I've met her and I've been on a panel with her. She's just like a beautiful human being, just really nice. I love books on minimalism. So there's The Minimalist. They have a few books. There's Miss Minimalism or Miss Minimalist. Oh, I'll have to just send you these links because I can't think of them off the top of my head. Miss Minimalist, I like every page I turned, I was like, yes, girl, yes, queen. Like it was just so like hitting on all the points in your life where you can sort of like make things more efficient and minimalist. And it was just, I ate that book up.
Mm, I'll have to check that out personally for sure.
I'm trying to think podcast wise, there's what is it called? Sorry. I think it's called How to Save a Planet. Oh, crap. Ooh, sorry.
That's okay.
yes, How to Save a Planet. So Dr. Ayanna Elizabeth Johnson, I fangirl over her. She spoke at a Surfrider conference and she's just an amazing human being. Like she's like who I wanted to be when I grew up. Like she got her degree at Harvard and then did a PhD at the Scripps Institute of Oceanography. She's a marine biologist and she helped write she was helping to advocate for a Blue New Deal. So Green New Deal has like an immense amount of great stuff, but it sort of neglects the ocean, which is, you know, a huge part of the earth and a huge carbon sink and, you know, an instrumental part if we're going to fight climate change. Mm-hmm. So she's just an amazing woman. Anyways, she has a podcast that basically goes through a lot of different solutions for climate change and how to save a planet. So that is a podcast that I love and listen to.
I'll be checking that out myself too. That I love. So, I mean, usually on the Ethical Consumer, we cover the everything, the zero waste, the planet friendly, but mostly with food and beverages too. That's just kind of our niche that we found ourselves in. But I like the sustainable, like cosmetics and skincare and things like that. I'm probably a little more bougie than crunchy. I'd like to think I'm crunchy. I'm not. I really love skincare and makeup, which has been interesting in the zero waste.
Oh, I can.
But I've gotten there, and I'm very pleased. I will share my morning routine at some point in time, guys. Don't you worry. That'll be a little weird, but I'm gonna do it anyway. But that's as far as how to save a planet too. It goes beyond, you know, the consumer packaged goods, because we have packaging in them, of course, but it's also our habits and our lifestyles. And you were just so knowledgeable and honest in your endeavors with that. Obviously, guys, check out Olivia's website and blog for some amazing resources too. And you have a wonderful Start Here portion. It is called the Yes. Start Here section of your website. If you're looking for where to start, click that link. You've made it so easy.
That's what I try to do. I'm the lazy engineer. I try to make things as easy as possible for people.
You're the efficient engineer. Efficiency. Yes. I also appreciate efficiency. And then for more information, you also, is it Olivia for the Ocean on Instagram as well?
Yes, it is.
I'm loving your Friday, what do you call it? The Good News Friday.
Yes. I got that from Catherine Kellogg. She started that. I was like, this is great. Like, we have so much bad news that people need, like, you see the, you know, whales washing up with like 50 pounds of plastic in their stomach and all that like terrible environmental news. I'm like, you need a little dose of good news every once in a while just to like, you know, prevent you from quitting.
Yes. There are good things. Yeah. A picture came up on Instagram the other day. I don't remember what page, but it was a fish and it was the fish's belly cut open and there were the plastic pieces. And I'm like, okay, I needed to see that, but I didn't need to see that. And now I'm sad. And yeah. Sometimes the good news is good too. Well, do you have anything else? This has been so great. Do you have anything else that you'd like to mention or share for our listeners or viewers?
No, I think just going back to what we were saying earlier, like cut yourself some slack. You're doing the best that you can. Be like your 100% most glorious self and just roll with it.
Just roll with it. For words that have never been spoken. Just roll with it. I love it. Thank you so much, Olivia. Thank you for your work with Surf Rider. And I'm excited for your new adventures and for whoever gets to fill your role there. And you get to keep working on Olivia for the Ocean, the blog, the website, and then with your family, of course, too. Guys, this has been another episode of the Ethical Consumer Podcast. I'm your host, Julia, signing off. Feel free to find us on Apple iTunes if you're not already on there listening to this. YouTube, Instagram, Facebook,